grateful to be among friends and brothers in Christ. And I'll be honest with you, these four messages this morning have encouraged my heart. And, you know, I'm old. I talk about that, you know, being old. And I've been to a lot of preachers' conferences and, you know, camp meetings and things like that. And but I have just been so encouraged today by being under the Word of God. And so, gentlemen, I appreciate you being sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and preaching those things that certainly my heart has needed today. So thank you so much for that. I had yesterday, I'm not going to get too descriptive here. I had a little procedure done. And so in order to have this thing done, I had to drink like this massive amount of water and fluid. And so they put me to sleep, you know. And so Miss Maureen was a little concerned when I got up this morning. She said, "You feel okay? You're going to be able to go over?" And, "Oh, yeah." I said, "But you know, I'm really, really sore right in here." And she said, "It's probably from you drinking all of that water that you drank." And that really is the truth. I mean, every time I swallow, you know, it hurts right in here. I had to drink this massive amount of fluid. So if I'm not able to preach, or maybe it doesn't come out exactly right, then we'll blame the procedure from yesterday. But let's take our Bibles and look over in 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3. I was talking to Brother Jeremy this morning, and he was telling me that, Brother Jimmy, y'all about to do a study maybe on the life of David. And so that's really what we're looking at today. Just a little thought here maybe to encourage us. 2 Samuel chapter 3. And just a couple of verses, verse 17 and 18. These are the words of Abner as he's about to change loyalty, jump ship really from Ishbosheth to David. And 2 Samuel chapter 3 verse 17 says, "And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, 'Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it. For the Lord hath spoken of David, saying, By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel out of the hand of the Philistines and out of the hand of all their enemies.'" Father, we come before you, and Lord, thank you so much for these men that have stood and preached your word, and Lord, these that are yet to come. And God, thank you for counting us faithful, putting us in the ministry. Lord, we pray that we truly could be faithful to you and faithful to proclaim your word and stand in the gap and be all that you purposed us to be. God, thank you for Brother Jimmy, and thank you for this church. And Lord, these that have stood so faithfully here over these years. And God, we pray that your mighty hand would continue upon them. Lord, that you'd bless them in a wonderful way. God, just continue to open doors of opportunity for them. And Lord, as they look out on the fields that are white at the harvest, Lord, we pray that you would use them to reach that harvest in this community. And so, God, we commit this time to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's been a few things in my life that have blessed me. And, you know, whenever you study the Word of God as a pastor, you know, you're called on to get in the Word of God. And one thing certainly has been a series that I have done over the life of Christ. And I tell people that all the time. You know, when you study the greatest life that ever walked on the face of this earth, God in human flesh, all God and all man, you can't help but be impacted by that life in a wonderful way. And so studying the life of Christ has always been so rich to me and so fulfilling and gratifying and, you know, in helping me to be what I need to be for the Lord, just viewing his life and trying to emulate his life, you know, with our desire to be Christ-like. But probably the second thing that has helped me has been a study in the life of David. And we've gone through this, Brother Jimmy, probably three times. I've been at Bible Baptist Church. I'm the pastor at Bible Baptist Church in the Thomas community. So I'm sorry I forgot that. But probably three times we have done a study in the life of David. And we're back studying in the life of David again. But as far as something that has blessed me and helped me in my life, it has been, you know, studying the life of Christ and a study in the life of David. And, you know, that stands to reason. I mean, Jesus said many times that he referred to himself as the son of David. So, anyway, I would encourage you to do that. You know, I'd encourage you certainly to study the life of the Savior and study the life of David. I mean, there's a lot of things that are very commendable about his life. But let me just tell you where we are here. When you look at this, David has come to a place in his life where he is ruling over one kingdom, and that kingdom is the kingdom of Judah. And Saul is dead, and the other 11 tribes are not worshiping. They have declared Ish-bosheth to be their king. And Ish-bosheth was the son of Saul. And he was the only one that was left. And so they have declared him to be their king. And so they're following him and have elevated him to that, you know, position of kingship over the 11 tribes. And so there's one guy here, Abner. And Abner has really kind of propped up Ish-bosheth. Abner was a captain in Saul's army. He was, you know, a real important general, and he knew that if the kingdom shifted to David, then he would lose his position. So, you know, he's kind of propped up Ish-bosheth. But what happens here is an unusual story. Ish-bosheth challenged Abner because Abner had gone into one of Saul's concubines. Her name was Rizpah. He had gone into Rizpah, and then Ish-bosheth, who is the son of Saul, sees what Abner has done, and even though he's, you know, the commander and the big guy in the army and really the leader of the military and has kind of put Ish-bosheth in this position of leadership as king over the 11 tribes, he still challenges Abner. And he challenges him by scolding him. And you can kind of read it as you go through the narrative there. And so Abner decides he's going to do something. He decides he's going to jump ship. And pretty much says, you know, what kind of gratitude is this? You know, I have put you as king in this position of leadership over these 11 tribes, and this is the gratitude that you give me. This is the gratitude that you show me. You scold me for... Now, Abner was wrong. Certainly he was wrong. But he decides he's going to go to David. And he's going to move to the other side, totally to the other side. And I think all of us understand that. You know, we are called on as preachers to declare Jesus as King. King Jesus. Yeah, King of kings and Lord of lords. And so often God works through an imperfect vessel. Does he not? And that's us. All of us know that. I guess the closer we get to God, the more we realize that we're chief of sinners like the Apostle Paul. But we know that it was God's will for David to be enthroned as the king over the whole nation. But here God is using Abner to kind of bring that to pass. This very imperfect man who has done some things that, you know, were pretty despicable and certainly questionable. But God uses Abner to bring about his purpose. And, you know, I have found in my life, you know, as the old preacher said, God can hit straight with a crooked stick. And that's me, you know, and that's all of us, is it not? But here's Abner. And he comes down, and this is really where he addresses the elders of Israel. And here are all the other 11 tribes. And the elders are there, and they're, you know, there to hear from Abner. And Abner is the general, and he's the military guy, and he's the one that's put Ishbosheth in his place of leadership. But now he's about to declare David to be the king. And that's what he says here in verse 17. And Abner had communication with the elders of Israel, saying, "Ye sought for David in times past to be king over you. Now then, do it." And gentlemen, that is the challenge that we all face as ministers of the gospel, to encourage people they have a false king that they're following. We did we not, before we were saved? We had a false king. But there's a true king. And it's the one that God has declared to be King of kings and Lord of lords. And he is the one that we want to encourage those who are following that false king to leave that false king. Now then, do it. And there's a lot that's involved there. But if you can just imagine Abner coming up. I mean, here he's been loyal to Saul all these years. And now he at least demonstrates some loyalty to Ishbosheth. And now he's about to change, you know, loyalty and allegiance. So what's he going to say? Here's Ishbosheth. He's been king. He's encouraged it. Now he's going to encourage David to be their king. Well, let me just tell you this. When you look at David's life, and you kind of study this thing. I mean, David was at times very honorable and very commendable at times. Kind of like us, huh? I mean, sometimes it seems like we do what we're supposed to do, and then other times we can act like David in other ways. But David was a good king. And David had a lot of ability. I'm just saying that here he's making a case, so to speak. He's going to tell these leaders of these 11 tribes, this man is worthy of making him king. Saul had killed his thousands, David his tens of thousands. I mean, that would make him qualified at least as a leader in the military. I mean, a mighty warrior, would it not? I mean, other things that David had done. I mean, he had unusual faith to go out and face Goliath, did he not? And I mean, he even scolded his brothers. Is there not a cause? I mean, there's something down inside David, even as a young man, that was honorable and commendable for him to tell his brothers, is there not a cause? I'm just saying that when you look at David's life, you find that he was a musician, very talented, a poet, you know. Or you don't find that combination very often in a warrior, do you not? I mean, we don't find that in a warrior much. But then David didn't really, I mean, it was whatever God wanted him to do, especially as a young man, that's what he wanted to do. I mean, David was called to go down into Saul's house and to comfort Saul with his musical ability. And he stayed there for a while. And then the Bible says he went back out and took care of his father's flock. I mean, it didn't matter if he was in the king's house trying to be a blessing to the king, or if he was out on the hillside taking care of his father's sheep. It's just whatever God had for him to do, that's what he wanted to do. The Bible says that David conducted himself wisely. The Bible talks about David being of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look on. That's what it says. But I'm just saying that, you know, you look at David's life, and here's a man that is going to become king. He was anointed even as a boy to be the king over all of Israel, and here God is using Abner to bring that to pass. And so Abner makes his case, and he says, now then, do it. Now, gentlemen, you know, all of us know where we're going with this, right? Because God has raised up the Lord Jesus Christ to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's a lot of people, as a matter of fact, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go in thereat. Many people out there are serving the wrong king. And we know King Jesus. And if David was honorable in a lot of ways, and certainly fit the bill of being a good king, boy, what does that put the Lord Jesus Christ has been so ably presented here this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his qualities and all of his character and all that he is. I mean, we address an unbelieving world at times. They come into our congregation. They're sitting in the pews, and we can hold up the true king. And they can leave this false king that they're serving. Well, what about this true king? I mean, if we're looking at somebody to be the king, boy, Jesus is king. He's king in power. The Bible says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I mean, can you imagine an unbelieving world following a false god, following a false king, an imposter, so to speak, Satan and all that, you know, all that, as the god of this world, usurping authority from Adam and becoming the god of this world? And it's what he is. But he is the false king. And there is the true king. And he has all power. For by him all things are created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's the king, right? King Jesus. Certainly mighty in power and mighty in character. You know, very seldom do you find such a combination. You know, you'll find somebody that, you know, but they're strong in power, some big, big guy. But they're ruthless and they're savage and they're cruel. But Jesus is not that way. Because in character, he's sinless. I mean, even the man that condemned him to death said, I find no fault in him. I mean, here is Jesus. Strong in power, so strong in power that he can speak worlds into being. But yet, of character such that he's sinless. How about in word? I mean, if we're going to tell people, if we're going to make a case and we're going to tell people, honestly, you are serving a false god, you're serving the wrong king, let me tell you why Jesus is the true king. Nobody ever spoke the way this man spoke. Whenever Rome controlled the world, they ruled the world, they ruled it in brutality. You're talking about a cruel kingdom. Jesus came along and presented something so contrary to the way they presented or what they presented as these emperors and rulers, they truly were ruthless. But Jesus came along with a message that said, go the second mile. Turn the other cheek. Whoever said that? Listen, you can study down through history. You won't find anybody that spoke this way. Jesus said, love your enemies and bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. I mean, can we see the character in this one, this king that we're proclaiming, King Jesus? They can jump ship and come to the true king. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. In his actions, he healed the sick. He caused the blind to see. What is he, a doctor? Where he touches somebody. Do you understand what's involved in a man causing somebody who's blind to see? I mean, we have the best health care system in the world. And, you know, we're not going to go into all of that. But we can't make people who are totally blind to see. Certainly, it's a rare thing whenever they're able to do that. But Jesus, all he's got to do is touch them. Or tell them to go wash and they'll come see. I mean, what a king. What an amazing king to cause the deaf to hear and raise the dead and calm the stormy sea and feed the multitude. I mean, who can do this? Nobody but Christ. So as Abner makes his case for David and tells everybody, Israel, come over to the other side. Come over, let's declare David to be the king. You understand, gentlemen, we have the responsibility to tell them, now then, do it. Let's make Jesus our king. And then he goes on, now then do it. He didn't say wait, did he? You understand there's an urgency in this message. I mean, everything, gentlemen, everything points to trouble in this world. The Bible tells us to watch and pray, and we watch and we see a lot of stuff going on that's very troubling to us today, and there is a sense of urgency as we proclaim this message. Now then, do it. You can even look at this. It says, you saw for David in times past to be king over you. Listen, we address a lot of people that are pondering this decision, and they may have considered it in time past. I mean, when I was 8 years old, I walked down the aisle, I didn't get saved. You know, walked down the aisle, shook the preacher's hand, he prayed with me, I got baptized, but I didn't become a Christian. But I say that because there may be people in our church, if we, this is my responsibility, it's my responsibility to proclaim the Word of God and to preach Christ. Amen. That's my responsibility. I know that they have to have that divine enabling for them to see. I understand that, and I believe that with all my heart, soul, and strength. But there is an urgency. When we look at this unbelieving world and the way things are progressing today, you know, I don't want to get off on this a whole lot, but, you know, our country has had a good foundation. We did have honorable men who had founded this country. Despite what, you know, the progressives and the liberals would say today, this country had a good beginning. And it truly was founded on Christian principle. It was not founded on the Quran, and it was not founded by Muslims. But I think all of us see the way our country has deteriorated and turned from that solid faith that we once had and once proclaimed in this country. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, it becomes our greater responsibility as we see this nation turning away from God that we proclaim Jesus Christ proclaiming for who he is and all that he is and all that he has done. And he truly is the true king. And they can turn from that false king that they have embraced and turn to the true king. And so I just try to encourage us today. I got about 6 more pages here. Brother Shad's going to come up here in just a little bit. But I want to tell you something. Let's proclaim Jesus Christ as the true king and tell them now then, as Abner said of old, now then, do it. Make Jesus your Lord, your Savior, and your King. Gentlemen, let's do it. Father, we come before you.